Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
So I feel like I'm a kind of a local hero.
It's all fun on top.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm about to start winning some awards.
You're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power is our producer and engineer, and 869-1240 is the IHOP hotline. Coming off the All-Star Game, a couple of days of inactivity in the world of sports, but we're here for you. We'll make it happen. All-Star Game last night. Thoughts?
Who's the lead play-by-play guy?
I don't even know.
He's awful.
Joe Davis.
He's terrible. I hate to say that, but he's just...
There's nothing to him.
I guess in the mic'd up segments, he was just really bad. He's trying too hard. He's forcing things. He's trying to be funny when he's not. He's trying to be cool when he's not. Like, hey, guys, what are you guys up to out there? How's it feel, buddy? All this, just don't.
I wasn't even paying much attention.
It was really bad.
And don't send Big Poppy into the dugout ever again when the game's going on.
Well, it's the All-Star game.
I love MLB.
I get trying other things, but
no,
be good at them if you're going to do them.
I love Major League Baseball. But they've let the All-Star game deteriorate to the point where it's almost not even consequential. Those uniforms, especially the American League uniforms,
hideous.
Are just awful. What is that? Tan and red?
It looked like almost orange.
No softball team would wear that.
It's a bad look.
The National League looked fine, but they should still be in their uniforms, right?
Of course. I don't know.
But at least the National League uniform was passable. Would you agree with
okay.
that?
I said
passable.
I don't know if it would have been passable if the other jersey had been better than it. You know what I'm saying? It was only passable compared to the...
I actually didn't mind it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying, was it only because we were comparing it to the other one?
I don't know. But I didn't mind it. I think on its own, I wouldn't mind it, except they should be wearing the jerseys of their teams. The uniform of their teams. There were no Cardinals in it, which took away a little of the luster. You had some Guardians. They didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, a run, an RBI, and the save. But other than that, didn't do much.
Yeah, you know, just slap hitters.
It's nice that Emmanuel Clase is kind of that guy now, the guy you go to in the All-Star game in the ninth inning to get the save. It's not somebody else. He's the man. And that's a nice feeling.
Enjoy it.
Guards have never really had a guy like that before.
I don't care. I'm all for you. Listen, I feel good for you. You're kind of enjoying the moment. You had a good All-Star game. Your team's in first place. Everybody's saying you had a great draft. You're feeling the way I used to feel.
Well, we'll see how it ends
about the Cardinals.
I don't want to. It's hard to get too blustered up, you know, because this season is going to have an ending. And the Guardians may or may not be the one standing.
Well, that's the thing.
The
you
end.
Don't trust it yet.
I'll never trust it.
And I understand that. There are times where I've trusted it. I get it that you don't trust this.
Well, you have to go through so many rounds now. It's no telling who's
like
going to win.
The Phillies, they trust it. They know that even if they get beat, they know they're the best team in the National League. There's no question about that. They trust it. You could see it in the way they went about it last night.
Had a little swagger.
Bryce Harper. I mean, all those Phillies guys, they just feel it. They know. They know they're the best. You don't necessarily have that feeling amongst the Guardians.
We're among the best. I know that. It's
yeah, but there's no feeling like knowing you're the best.
There are chances for upgrades as the month continues
you know
and wraps
saying.
Up. Well, I want to see what this team looks like on August 1st.
But you know what I'm saying.
Not really. I want to see what this team looks like on August 1st. That's really what I'm pointed to.
Well, what could they do to make you feel like you'd turn the corner?
I don't need a huge splash.
Give me a player.
Oh, well, Eric Fetty's kind of the guy.
Eric Fetty.
And if they could get like a Paul Blackburn or somebody like that, if they got like two number three type starters, I'd be thrilled. I know there's not going to be a great chance for an ace out there. I'm not really worried about that. They have Tanner Bibee. Just fill out the rotation, and then in the playoffs, you can go to your bullpen.
Yeah, good luck.
Whenever you want.
We're a couple of weeks away from the trade deadline.
Yeah, still about 13
And the Royals
days.
Look like they've already done something. They brought in Hunter Harvey.
Good move.
Good acquisition. Now, they had to give up their second-best prospect and a pick in the supplemental first-round draft.
Yeah, the comp round.
So, I mean, they had to pay a little bit for Hunter Harvey, but he addresses –
He
concern.
Was their number two prospect, are you sure?
Yes.
I thought Gavin Cross and Blake Mitchell were
there. No, there's. Don't try to correct me on baseball. I'm tired of it. I'm just not going to put up. There you go to your phone.
Yeah, I am.
I'm just not going to put up with it anymore.
Okay.
Because you're never right.
I don't think he was their number two prospect.
He was. And that's where we are on this. But they got a bullpen arm that they covet. In Hunter Harvey, who's legit, a guy that can pitch at the back end.
Caden Wallace, their number two prospect. I mean, what in the world?
Say it for everyone to hear.
What a absolutely barren farm system.
Say it for everyone to hear.
That's just terrible.
Now say it again. Was he the Royals' number two prospect?
I don't know.
Why do you do that?
He's doing okay in Double A, but I don't know.
Why can't you just admit
what I said?
I know what I'm talking about.
I said
about.
It out loud already.
Where's Caden Wallace now with the Nationals?
Yeah, he's. I don't know. I assume he's going to Double A, but I don't know that he's played yet. He's played with Northwest Arkansas.
Well, I'm talking about. I'm talking about where is he on their prospect list?
Well, that's a really good question. I think I'm going to figure out the answer to it.
Because the Nationals have a pretty good system. Now, they've started to dip into it, but they have Dylan Cruz. I believe they have a pitcher.
He's number six.
Okay, went from two to six in a better system.
Correct.
So he's still regarded as a top flight major league prospect.
I don't know if I'd call that top flight. He's a guy with a potentially...
He'll get to the big leagues.
Yeah, they have a good system. Some of the guys beneath him are pretty good prospects. Robert Hassel, Elijah Green. So
that's
yeah.
That's the thing about the Nationals. I told you this when I watched them. I have a way of seeing the future.
Well, I saw that when we played him. Who
no,
cares?
No, you didn't say anything about
it. I don't need to say anything.
I do. I like to. That's what I love about baseball is evaluation.
But I mean, any moron could see that CJ Abrams
is good. If I have a regret, and I don't. I chose exactly the right career path and the right occupation, but I could have been a good evaluator.
Really? Of guys who are succeeding in the major leagues.
I could have been a good evaluator.
That's what you would have evaluated.
Of talent.
No, you couldn't.
I would have done a great job. I could do that job.
Well, it's awesome that you saw C.J. Abrams. As a successful player, just as he was being voted as a starter in the All-Star
game. NBC World Series.
C.J. Abrams?
No, I saw it at the NBC World Series with a bunch of players. Ask anybody who was around there at the time.
Were any of them?
I told people when I saw Albert Pujols with the Hayes Larks, who was nobody at that time. Really, I mean, nobody knew much about him. He was out of high school, played at a junior college. I said, that guy has a chance to be something.
Wow. One of the best three players in the history of the game. And who saw it first?
Well, who else saw it?
Apparently everybody.
He was a 13th round draft pick.
Yeah, and then he played about four games in the minors after that.
So, I mean, you know, give me credit. What credit's due.
That's
there's
the
nothing
first
wrong,
I've ever...
There's nothing wrong with giving me
that's
credit.
That's the first I've ever heard of you seeing Albert Pujols and saying anything.
Well, ask anybody.
No, I don't know.
Who was up there at the time?
I don't even think you were up there at the time.
Of course I was.
You weren't an NBC guy into the 90s.
I was not the guy that daily covered it, but I was a columnist. And I wrote a daily column during the NBC World Series. At that time, I wrote a daily column out of the World Series.
Oh, there you go.
And I think one of those columns was, I see it in Albert Pujols.
Probably so.
Look it up.
That's in your book, right? Since
I don't think I put that one in my book, but look it up.
Monumental.
I'm sure I wrote it. 869-1240. Here is our show for today. Now, I did see this kid, and I said, wow, this kid has a chance. Connor Frankamp joins the show at 225. We'll talk aftershocks.
Is this what you had in mind for Connor Frankamp?
What?
A career overseas.
Yeah, because he lacked the size. But he's had a great career overseas.
He sure has.
I wish you had a career overseas. Mike Furchus will join us.
What are you trying to say?
I'll leave it up. You know, that was funny. I think listeners got it, but
well,
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe I'll go
sure.
Overseas, and you'll never hear from me again.
Well, if you have a good career, why would I argue with that?
Well, how would you know?
Mike Furchus joins us at 2:45. We'll talk about Emmy nominations. You know, you know, I'm a guy that likes to think, man, I watch all the shows.
And yeah.
There's so many shows that were nominated big time, like many nominations. I haven't watched or even heard of.
That's okay.
No, it's not.
Sure it
is. I got to get on that.
No, you don't.
Debbie, tonight we're going to start one of these series, and I'm going to talk to Mike about which one it should be.
Watch whatever you want.
No.
Whether it's nominated or not.
No, I'm going to watch a nominated show.
But if it hadn't...
Because you know what? You know what has become my sport?
No.
Bothering you.
Well, it works.
So the more you're bothered, the more you're bothered.
I just can't relate.
Listen to that voice.
Can't relate to somebody who just... I got to be doing what everybody else is doing. I have no idea how my mind would ever work like that.
Listen to that voice.
But that's what
it
you are.
It just bugs the you-know-what out
feel?
Of me.
How does that feel?
Listen to you.
I'm asking.
No, it feels good because it elicits this
but
response.
How does it feel to be such a conformist is what I'm asking.
Do you not know the joy I'm getting right now?
Why don't you answer the question?
Because I
want to know how that feels.
The reason I say these things is to get the
no,
reaction
the
I get.
The reason you say that you're going to watch every Emmy-nominated show is because you want to do what everybody else is doing. And I want to know why. Why? Quit
Listen,
the fake laughing and
no,
just
I'm
answer
not
the
fake
question.
It's not a fake laugh.
Yeah, it is.
It is hilarious to me to hear the high-pitched
just answer the
nature
question.
Of your voice.
Just answer the question. Does that work?
Are you going nuts? Are you going insane?
Nope.
I think you are.
I'm not.
I think I'm driving you.
You are
toward.
You are extremely predictable.
I think I'm
so
driving you toward
the way
insanity.
You act toward me does not really affect me. So why don't
anyway,
you just answer the
question?
Anyway,
I'm going to talk to Mike Furchus about some of these shows and get his thoughts about them. If he's seen them, I don't even know if he's seen some of them.
Well, I doubt
I'll mention
he's as worried
some of
about
them later in the show. I know you haven't seen them.
No, I haven't.
I haven't seen The Morning Show, which has been on for a while and just got nominated at the Wazoo. I mean, it's everybody and everything about that show is nominated.
Well, it's got a pretty good cast from what I have heard.
And what's it on, Apple TV?
Yes.
Well, I need to watch that.
Or you don't.
I feel like I'm missing out. I feel like there are people out there who have an advantage over me.
And tell me again how that feels.
Feels awful.
To be a conformist.
Feels awful to have
I can imagine.
People out there who listen to me and go, can't believe that idiot hadn't watched The Morning Show. That feels awful to me.
Really? It's bizarre. I don't get it.
I know you don't get it.
I don't get it.
Mike gets it.
No, he doesn't care what other people think like that. He just watches what he wants to watch, and it so just so happens.
But Mike gets
that he
me.
Wants to watch a lot of things.
Mike gets me. Do you buy that?
No.
What do you think? You think he doesn't get me?
I don't think he really gets you. This Midwestern guy never really had to fight for his food, if you know what I'm saying, like
what?
Mike did.
I never had to fight for my food.
You know what I mean? Like, really just get
Tell
after
me about
it.
That.
You had a privileged upbringing.
I had a privileged upbringing.
Mike was over here.
Tell me about the privileged upbringing
Mike
I had.
Was over
No, tell me.
See, now I'm messing with you.
No,
Isn't
tell
that
me
easy?
About it.
Nah, it's all right.
Tell me about
we'll
the privileged
it.
Upbringing
we'll
I had.
We'll get into it when Mike comes on.
My mother drove a 62 Chevy. And my dad drove any Renault he could find at the junk pile and fix.
Well, what's that have to do with anything?
That's the privilege.
Privilege does not necessarily have to do with
the first car I ever drove was my mother's 62 Chevy.
Chevy?
Right. A muffler fell off.
Of the what?
Muffler fell off.
The 62 what?
So there was no privilege.
Privilege.
And I'll knock your
you
head
had both
off.
Both parents, you went to school, you didn't
right.
didn't need for anything.
I had a parent who worked and a mother who stayed in the home, which is fine. I'm all for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But a parent who worked three jobs to make ends meet.
Did your mom ever
is
have a
privilege?
Job while
not while I was alive. Was,
yes.
Is that privilege?
Yeah.
A father who worked three jobs to make
I
ends.
I worked three jobs.
Not
you
like he did. You sit in the press box. You sit here holding a mic. And you sit out at KWCH waiting for a thunderstorm. Those aren't real jobs.
Did we have one today?
Those aren't real jobs.
Oh, they real money.
My dad worked hard for a living.
We all work hard.
You haven't worked. You haven't. I'm going to tell you this right now. You haven't worked hard yet.
Really? That's too bad. I feel like I work hard a lot of times.
Eh, good for you. But don't ever tell me I had a privileged
You did.
You haven't described it at all that
way. I told you. You got an education. I mean, you had both parents. You
had an education?
Yeah.
What does that have to do with privilege?
Not a lot of people are that lucky.
To get an education?
Correct, yeah.
So if you get an education, you're privileged?
Yeah, absolutely.
Every person who has an education, who has gone to high school, is
and graduated, yeah, that's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to go to high school, not have to drop out and work, not have to drop out and support your
who
family.
Who do you know that dropped out and worked?
I'm just saying it happens.
Who do you know?
Does it not happen? I mean, I've never known anybody that died in a house fire, but I know that
I
happens.
I know plenty of people who fight like hell to go to high school and beyond and work their tails off to make that happen. I've never regarded that as privilege.
Really?
Hard work is not...
A chance to get a higher
hard
education?
Work, it's not a chance. You've made your chance. You've made your opportunity. Not privilege. You've made it happen.
I don't know.
Now, you wouldn't know anything about that, but I would.
No, I wouldn't.
Right. That's true.
And
you wouldn't
either.
Of course I would. I paid for every dollar of my college education. Every dollar.
Well, did you get those $12 back yet in the return?
See, that's your common refrain.
Well, I would have been able
to. Let me tell you something about that time, okay? Because you're too dense to get it. We didn't make good money in those years. I wasn't making a lot of money when I was out of high school. I told you I started at the Wichita Eagle in 1974 for $150 a week. When I worked at the Derby Daily Reporter, I was making significantly less than that. So if college costs $12, as you say, that's a significant amount of money.
Maybe. It's unaffordable now.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
why are colleges full?
Because people get loans.
There were people who got loans when I went to college. And parents who paid for their kids' college. Mine didn't.
Yeah, not many are able to in my generation to be able to do that, to be able to pay for someone's college.
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about that. There's a lot of people who pay for their kids' college.
Well, it's pretty much impossible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. For middle-class people, it absolutely is.
Well, it was pretty much impossible when I was at that age.
I don't think so.
Well, I do.
I do not.
Why did my parents not pay for my college?
I don't know.
Because they didn't have the money. That's why.
Okay. Well, Aaron can't earn the money to pay for college. That's impossible.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
You can pay some of it.
She can pay off loans later. She doesn't have any money.
Okay. That's the choice. We'll take a break. We'll come back and talk with Connor Frankamp from the Aftershock. Stay with us.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
We are joined by Connor Frankamp from the Aftershocks. Connor, a veteran player. How many years now, Connor, with the Aftershocks? Is this your fourth or fifth?
I think this is my fourth year, I believe.
Okay. Well, yeah. Congratulations on that. Here we are. We saw that yesterday was your 29th birthday. 29 seems extremely young still to me, but I imagine to you, you have a little hard time believing you're 29.
You're exactly right. 29 seems old. So, especially next year being 30, then I'll for sure feel extra old. So, yeah.
Yeah, 30 is crazy old. What'd you do to celebrate yesterday? Anything, Connor?
I didn't do too much, actually. I went to dinner with my family last night, hung out with the little one, and that was about it, actually.
Talking with Connor Frankamp, the basketball tournament starts this Thursday, right? Is it Thursday 21st? Or Friday?
We play Saturday, it Friday. It starts Friday, I think, actually, and then we play it at 12 on Saturday.
Okay. Well, what do you think of this team? How do you feel about it? Are you as psyched up and excited for this as you've always been? What do you think of the Aftershocks?
Definitely. I think we have a really good team. You know, we've been so close in the previous years. I think it was two years ago, I think, maybe three, we made it to the semifinals and thought we had a good chance to win it that year. So we brought back some of the same guys from that team. Then we added another guard, Jeremiah Martin, who played at Memphis, who's really, really good. So we're excited to have him. And, you know, we have this week to gel and play together and everything. And I think we put together a pretty good team.
For you, is the basketball tournament, is TBT just fun and a break from kind of your career? Or are there things that you can take from this experience on the court and use them in your actual career? Are there parts of the style of play in TBT that maybe have helped you improve elsewhere?
Maybe a little bit of both. You know, it's nice in the middle of summer to be able to play games that's competitive against, you know, this good of competition. Without this tournament, it'd be hard to find, you know, games this good and to play against and play with guys who are this high level and things like that. So I think that definitely helps going into, you know, the next season with your pro career for sure.
Connor Frankamp, our guest, the Aftershocks play at noon on Saturday, as he said, against Midtown Prestige, another Kansas team. That kind of has a Southwestern College feel. Are you aware of a player by the name of Kevin Clark?
I am not. We kind of went over the players a little bit yesterday, but obviously didn't get in depth too much with them or about them. But I don't know many of the players. I know Kaheem Ransom. He played at Southeast when I was at North. he's a good player, so I'm excited to see him and play against him. But other than that,
I think
don't know
Kevin Clark is
player.
You, Connor, in a different body from the sound of it. He's
kind of a little shorter.
Big shooter and big scorer, and so that'll be fun. Tell us, before we go on about the basketball tournament, tell us about your pro career and where that is now.
I was in Spain this last year. It was my second time in Spain. I was in Spain 3 years ago in Murcia, and then this year I was in Lugo to start, and then I finished out in Valencia in the ACB, which, you know, I enjoy Spain quite a bit, so it was nice to be there again for a second time. And then I haven't signed anywhere for next year, kind of waiting to see what the options are and kind of just go from there.
How long do you want to play, ideally?
That's a great question. I wish I could give you an exact answer. I wouldn't mind playing, you know, until maybe 33, 30, 32, 33, something like that. I really don't know. That's kind of just a rough estimate right now. I don't have an exact, you know, exact age or number I could give you.
When you see so many players getting drafted to the NBA from overseas and not here in the United States and in colleges and stuff like that, what does that affirm to you about how challenging it is to play in Europe and elsewhere overseas, and how much more advanced has that game even gotten since you've been playing?
It's pretty cool to see all the guys from overseas get drafted, you know. The European basketball is definitely improving every single year, and higher level guys are going over there and, you know, staying over there. There's a lot of NBA guys who choose to stay over there in Europe instead of coming back to the NBA, obviously, with a more prominent role you get sometimes over in Europe and things like that. So it's always good to see the European basketball game evolve every single year.
We're talking with Connor Frankamp from the Aftershocks, certainly a guy that we identify with that team now. The grind of this tournament, it's tough. You play a lot of games in a short amount of time. You've got a good KU team, at least on paper, it looks good. You've got a good K-State team, again, at least on paper. What's the key of making a good team rather than just a good on paper team?
I think focusing one game at a time, you know, like you said, we have K-State and KU both in our region. So not looking ahead to, you know, that's some sort of rivalry or whatever to play K-State and then KU, however it may end up. The teams are so good this year in the tournament. So just playing one game at a time and trying to not let the other team score easy baskets, I think, is a huge thing. And especially being at home, that obviously helps us quite a bit.
Are you still a KU fan? How do you feel about that program and that team now that you've got a little distance away from it?
There's no hard feelings toward them. I can't say I'm the biggest KU fan, but I also don't root for them to lose or anything like that. So I always watch them during the year, and you know, I enjoy following up with them. And then obviously some of the guys this year on the TBT team, I'm still friends with. So it'll be great to see them, and then be able to catch up with them.
Connor Frankamp is our guest. So we haven't gotten to see you play here in the States very much, except for in this tournament. Since you played at Wichita State and finished your college career, what part of your game has improved the most?
I think overall, I've just became a more mature player, I think. I think a little bit at WSU, I was kind of limited with the things I was allowed to do and things of that nature. And then as I've been overseas, I've kind of been able to play more free and kind of play my game that I've always kind of known how to play. And so that's been nice to get back to that and, you know, kind of just play the way I used to play.
So last year in the tournament, I noticed that teams were really focusing a lot of defensive attention toward you. And
right. You
tried to turn that into assisting other players and getting the ball to people. Do you expect that to be the case this year? Do you expect the defense to really, really focus on you and not let you do some of the things you like to do? And how do you combat that?
Yes, I kind of am preparing for that. I think I'm going to try to be more aggressive this year. I think I was kind of passive last year with, you know, with the defense they were playing on me. And then us adding that other guard, the lefty Jeremiah Martin, he'll take the pressure off of me some. So that's a nice addition. And then, you know, of course, if my teammates are open, I'll pass and try to play the right way the best that I can.
I was going to say you need to be more aggressive, but I thought you might get angry with me. But you kind of agree, no. Right?
I agree with you. I do agree with you. Yeah.
So you said play until you're kind of early 30s and whatever that looks like. You might be in at least the second half of your career. Have you thought about what is next? Do you want to coach? Do you see yourself living here in Wichita or somewhere else? I don't know if you've thought about that much, but have you?
I've thought about it a little bit. I go back and forth on, you know, if I want to coach or, you know, do something with basketball. Some days I don't want to do anything with basketball when I'm retired, and then other days, you know, I want to stay with it. So I go back and forth every week on that, and I'm, you know, still trying to figure out what I want to do when I'm finished. So I definitely need to start, you know, preparing for that and kind of thinking more deeply on that. And it's not, you know, 3 or 4 years will go by pretty quick.
Well, being a golf pro could be on the table too, right?
I would love that. Yes.
Connor, I think I know you better than you know you.
You definitely might.
Well, we appreciate it. We look forward to watching you. I know I speak for my wife when I say this. We love watching Connor Frankamp play basketball. We always have. And we're looking forward to the basketball tournament coming up this weekend at Koch Arena. The Aftershocks in action at noon on Saturday. Thank you, Connor.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on. It's always good. Always good to chat with you guys.
All right, Thanks. There's Connor Frankamp. Another guy that, you know, year by year, just easier conversation to have. He didn't like to talk a whole lot when he was in high school or college. He talked. He was friendly.
Yeah.
But now he's getting more comfortable.
Seems like it. And, yeah, it's not everyone's thing to want to talk. Some guys want to go play, and they're more introverted. But his conversations are good and fun and easy.
That golf pro thing, don't discount that.
Well, I know how good he is.
I could very easily see that happening.
I wouldn't put it past him.
If they were to have a golf tournament of TBT players, I guarantee he'd be in the top three.
He'd probably win the thing.
Yeah, he could.
I don't know what other players in that tournament are looking like.
That's why I said top three. I don't want to. There might be a great golfer out there.
But if anybody can get a professional golf career started in their mid 30s, I assume it would be a guy like.
Well, I'm
Connor
saying Frank. When I say a golf pro, I mean somebody who runs a golf.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Maybe he thinks he can go be a golf pro. But when I'm talking about a pro, I'm talking about somebody who's.
I don't think he wants to go run
lessons, and
I don't think he wants to go run Teradyne if he's going to play golf.
Well, I don't know about that.
I think he wants to play golf.
He could still play a lot of golf.
Yeah, we'll see. I think he wants to be in a U.S. Open.
Maybe.
Why wouldn't he?
Well, I'll ask him next time I talk to him.
You should text him right now.
I am going to text him right now. I'm going to text Connor and see. Did you mean actually trying to get on the tour, or did you mean running a golf?
Well, even if he's a Corn Ferry guy for 10 years, I mean, I bet he would be pretty happy with that. I think he wants to compete in golf. He's a competitor.
Well, you can compete in golf as a golf pro.
Yeah, but that's not the same.
Remember the golf pro that was on the leaderboard for one of the majors a couple years
ago? Yeah, we all made fun of him, and then he went away.
No, we didn't make fun of him.
Well, I did.
I didn't make fun of him. And by the way, we have the Open Championship coming up this weekend. And we need to get with Duda today to see if he can make picks.
Is there a chance for a three-man on Friday? Because I got a game.
No, I will not be here Friday.
There's no chance.
No.
Where will you be?
I'm actually going to go to the jail and talk to Ricky Aldoretti, who has been charged and pleaded guilty to being one of the people who took the Jackie Robinson statue. I've been afforded the opportunity to talk to him. And
we can't make that a morning appointment?
No.
Good.
It's a 3 o'clock.
All right, well. Good luck.
You can do the game another time.
Yeah, it's a good game, though.
I'm not. This is something I've said publicly that I was willing to do, and I am willing to do it. And I'm doing it Friday.
All right. Good luck.
What do you mean, good luck?
Good luck.
I don't know what that means. That's such a strange thing to say about.
What else would you say?
Just okay.
Well, good luck.
For what?
I hope that whatever you want to get out of that is what you get out of that.
I'm not saying. What have I said I want to get out of
then,
it?
Well, yeah, I assume you want to get something out of it, or why would you do it?
Go talk to the guy. Tell him what he did, how it affected people. Mike Furches is with us on the IHOP hotline. Mike, welcome.
Good to be here.
So, is that all? Just good to be here? Okay. No.
I'm sitting here. I was talking to
Mike. It's an honor, Bob, or anything like that?
It's an honor to be with such two great people. And then Max on the side, too.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to go quite that far. Mike, I almost called you Max.
Of course we do.
What my father's going to want to ask you about Emmy nominations, so I will allow him to do that. But have you seen any movies lately, and have any made any kind of impression on you?
Well, saw Maxine, saw Horizon. Maxine, I love Ty West. For people who don't know who that is, he's kind of like a horror writer. He did Pearl. He did X, and then Maxine is a follow-up to that series. So I saw that, and it was okay. A little bit of a disappointment. Went to see Horizon. We've been talking about that, the new Kevin Costner film, and have kind of mixed emotions about it, but liked it. Does that make sense? It's very long. It's 3 hours long. If I had to rack it up against Killers of the Flower Moon, I like this. I like Horizon better, but 3 hours is a long movie, and it is action packed. Though it's not a. It reminds me a lot of Open Range, and I know that Bob would have seen that. I don't know if you ever did or not, Jeff.
Well, then that's one of my favorite movies. So if this thing's going to be in that genre, in that category, then I need to see it. But you've given it much more, many more accolades than most. Why is that? Are you someone who's giving it praise?
Well, one is I realize it's a part one of a – it's not the completion of a movie. It's just part one of a two-part movie. It reminds me a lot of 1883. There is a substantial cast. Kevin Costner's in it, but while he may be the primary actor in the movie, unless he's in the second one a whole lot more, he can forget about an Oscar nomination for it, because there's so many character actors that play such significant roles in the movie. And it does jump around a lot. Like 1883, but it starts to come together at the end of the first movie, but then it ends. So I liked it, but I like Westerns. I think this has a chance for those that will see it. It's rated R, and Bob, you're not going to like this, but because of the cinematography, which you can expect incredible cinematography from Costner, I think it needs to be seen on the big screen. If you wait around to where it comes on television, now not all of us has an 85-inch television that you have in your living room, but for those that don't,
thanks for
you'll
saying
lose
that.
A lot of you'll lose a lot of perspective.
It's a privilege, isn't it, Mike?
I'm sitting here staring at my 60-inch one, and I remember him getting on you for not having one bigger than that. So, hey, but they are down for you get one for less than $400 now, a 70-incher. So I may be having to make that trip pretty soon.
Mike Furches with us. We're talking pop culture. So I do want to get into the Emmy nominations.
Yeah.
Because really, I've watched more television than I have movies over the past 4 years, which didn't used to be the case. But I've fallen into that. I don't want to go out to a movie theater, and I'm trying to get over that mental hurdle. I don't know if I ever will. So I looked at the nominations today, and I'm a guy that thinks, man, I watch a lot of TV. I need to cut back. Well, here are the outstanding drama series that were nominated. The Crown, which has been on a long time. I've never watched it. I don't know why. Fallout, don't watch. The Gilded Age, haven't watched. The Morning Show, as ashamed as I am to say it, I haven't watched. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, no. Shogun, no. Slow Horses, haven't watched. Three Body Problem, No. Every single one of those outstanding drama series, either I haven't watched, all of them I haven't watched, some I've never heard of. What's going on with me, Mike?
Well, it's the beast of streaming. Because you do watch The Bear. That is one with FX. I think, to me, the FX, that one channel with between two shows, have like almost 60 nominations and have over 90 for that network. And how many of us watch that? You know, how many of us watch FX? I tend to watch Paramount, Paramount Plus, Netflix, Amazon, but I don't tend to go to FX. I don't really even tend to go to Apple, which also had quite a few nominations as well. So there are some good ones this year, though. The Bear's really good. If you've not seen Shogun, if you like Walton Goggins as much as I do, I'd recommend watching that particular show, because you won't even recognize that it's Walton Goggins. It's a kind of a futuristic science fiction, but it's actually it reminds me of Waterworld, an old series from way back, but I actually enjoy it quite a bit. And then, you know, there's others like that you make mention of, like with Apple at the morning show and things of that nature. I don't watch those types of shows either, but streaming has taken over. And when you've got actors, one of my favorite actresses, like Idris Elba, who's on his fifth Emmy nomination, that says something about the quality of television and streaming networks.
What do you think it is, Mike, that gets people to watch a show these days? Because you don't see like all these shows like heavily advertised. Is it just word of mouth? And how much of a detriment is the overload of streaming to be able to find and watch these shows if you even want to?
Yeah, it becomes really difficult, Jeff. I think word of mouth has been, always will be, the best form of advertisement for a particular television show or movie or whatever. There's a movie out right now called Long Legs that was not expected to do anything, but the numbers and the word of mouth is just pumping that movie up to where it's doing pretty good. And I know that we've had disagreements about this, about The Fall Guy, but The Fall Guy ended up making far more than what people expected and actually was running in theaters for quite a while it was still streaming and doing well at the theaters. So the word of mouth, initially when a movie comes out, I mean, we go back historically, people like Bob and I, and go back and look, It's a Wonderful Life was a flop when it first came out. The Wizard of Oz was a flop when it first came out. And it was word of mouth that built those films up to where they're traditions now and modern day classics. So word of mouth plays a lot, but how can you advertise it so much to where people can become aware that there's so much that's out there? We've never seen the advent of this much entertainment ever. And it doesn't seem to be getting less. It seems to be getting more. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. Mike Furchess is with us. We're talking Emmy nominations. It's interesting that an outstanding lead actor in a drama series, Idris Elba and Dominic West, were both nominated. What do they have in common, Mike?
It's hard to say what they have in common. Elba.
What legendary show were they both in?
Tell me,
Jeff,
Bob.
Do you have the answer?
The Office.
The Wire.
No.
Okay.
Did you watch The Wire?
I definitely watched The Wire, and I probably would have thought about it if I'd have thought long enough. But that's going back in time. I mean, back when those two guys were on that quite a few years ago. But it shows the lasting impact of The Wire. Yeah, I only started watching The Wire about 4 years ago. I'm still not caught up, and I'm not throughout the whole seasons. But it's only about 4 years ago when I was at the gym doing my climbing bicycle routine for cardio that I started watching it. So
that is a stressful show. I would not add to my cardio by watching The Wire.
Get your heart going faster. Show. Yeah. So, but there's some good stuff out there. And the Emmys, the one thing, and I was doing my little bit of research on the Emmys, and one thing that kept coming up is if it seems like it was just yesterday before the last Emmy Awards took place, it really kind of was. It's not been over a year since we had the last group of nominations. So,
Mike, I have a question. Just from you're not really an outsider when it comes to this, but you're not as big a fan as I or my dad. When you hear the Eagles at the Sphere, what does that conjure up for you? Is that a good fit?
Boy, it's hard. You know, you two just finished up their series there, are still going on. I think it's signed an extension. You know, the thing that's bothering me about the Eagles right now is the lip syncing, if that's really going on or if it's just temporary going on. I've not gotten over that, and I would just like to have more detail before I'd be willing to pay that kind of money to see him.
Singing in the most recent Long Goodbye, after all that stuff came out, I think he might still be lip-syncing Desperado, but the other songs sounded, and who knows, but they sounded different from before.
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the Eagles in a venue like Interest Bank Arena, in a not a massive arena.
Those days
are
gone.
Yeah, but it's kind of, you know, for years and years and years, this is going back to my home area, in Johnson City, Tennessee, Freedom Hall Civic Center used to be one of the major stopping points for hard rock bands in the country. And it was because they were so crazy. I mean, Errol Smith did a couple of videos there as well as others. But the crowd, the artists used to go to play to the crowd. Wichita was a classic rock town for many, many years. But now it's just like sports teams. And you can't blame them. I'm not blaming them. It's about how much money you can make. And frankly, if they can make it good for them, they put in the entertainment value over the years and they deserve it. So.
Well, the best thing about Wichita right now is the number of venues we have. So you can really get about anything if you're willing to look at who's coming where, because we have five or six venues that are bringing significant acts to town. We got the Beach Boys in town right now performing tonight at the Cotillion.
Yeah, we have the
It's not the original Beach Boys. But Mike Love's out there.
Yeah, we had the Wallflowers, Jason Isbell. Go ahead, Mike.
I mean, just all those bands you just mentioned, Jeff. I really wanted to see the Wallflowers, and I didn't get to go, but I really wanted to see them. And then, you know, the first date they ever took my wife on was the Beach Boys. And Mike Love, you're looking at Wichita, Kansas, Hutchinson, roots there. A lot of people don't know, but still, they're still out there playing. And I bet you they sound just about as good as they ever did. And would be a fun
And you know, people are going to have fun tonight listening to the Beach Boys, and that's what it's all about.
There's no doubt they're going to have a blast. They're going to be dancing and partying, and just a really, it's fun music, and it's the time of year to see it. I saw the Beach Boys in Washington D.C. one year for the 4th of July show, and I'll never forget that. I've seen them probably five or six times over the years, and they always put on a great show. But for the smaller venues, 5,000 seats and below, Wichita is doing fantastic. I mean, even with like Temple Live having the Wallflowers the other night, that's a big show. That's a big show, and so we're doing really well. And there's a chances for all kinds of entertainment if people want to get out and do it. And like I've said for years, pop culture that includes music, and I'm certainly looking forward to my fall already. And I'm thinking about trying to see the Eagles. I'd like to find a way to go.
Well, it hasn't struck me yet.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, okay, I think this has a chance of just being unbelievable.
Well, we'll see.
But we'll see.
We'll see what your definition of unbelievable is.
Well, you still got
Mike,
the chance to see ELO too. Oh, you guys are welcome. Thank you.
Well, I was definitely going to see Hart. At Trust Bank Arena, but they had to cancel the tour.
Yeah. It's kind of sad because I'd like to see them one more time as well. I've seen them a couple of times. They're always a lot of fun. So, well, you
Thanks,
guys
Mike.
Good.
Always a pleasure.
Same here.
There's Mike Furches.
Thanks, Mike.
He'll join us again next week, we hope. We'll be back with another hour of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH.
Microphony and a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I just go with what I do.
Incorrect. Wait for it. And I hope you're hungry because the second half of this word is edible. Incredible.
Jeff Lutz.
Have you ever been nominated for anything of the year?
Yeah.
What?
Man of the Year by the NCAA. I didn't win it, but.
Oh my gosh.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Don't touch that dial.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. This is a Wednesday edition. Cooler today. Temperature right now in the mid-80s. It felt almost cold this morning when I was out for a little bit. Not cold, but had
not
a nice
quite.
Breeze.
I get what you're saying. It was borderline crisp. It was almost there, but
compared
not quite.
Compared to where we've been, felt pretty good.
Supposed to be in the 70s, 80s next 10 days, according to the always reliable Jake Dunn.
I saw a little higher than that, but again, I don't have Jake Dunn's resources.
You don't. Few do.
So maybe Jake's on to something. But I don't want you to misspeak for Jake Dunn either. Because I'm seeing 88 tomorrow, then 89, 85, 83, 82, 86, 90, 92, 95, 95, 93, 95, 97.
Well, Jake tells me it's going to be in the 70s or 80s for the next 10 days.
Well, maybe he meant nighttime temperature.
No, he didn't. And we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Well, you know what? I'm going to write that down.
Okay, you should.
When were you talking to Jake about the weather?
Jake gives a, I think it might have been yesterday. Because he wasn't in the morning meeting yesterday, but he always leads off our morning meeting with the weather and what we can expect.
I thought you meant he talked to you.
No.
Specifically.
No.
Just the group you were in.
Yeah.
How many of you are in those morning meetings?
It varies. Maybe about 12.
Do you ever have any input in those?
Occasionally.
Do they ever say, Jeff, what do you have about
that? Not usually, no.
Do they ever say, Jeff, do you like this idea?
No. I'm not on that level. I am looking maybe to start advancing,
really,
though, at some point, but I don't know. I gotta have some conversations.
Do you have a? Why don't you come up with a real plan?
Trying to work a plan. I'm trying to figure that out. But we don't have a managing editor right now, and I'm not saying I'm going to go from where I am to managing editor, but I've seen the duties that person performed and feel like I can check off some boxes, do some other things.
Well, that would probably mean the hours that would keep you from doing this show.
It could, but we'll figure it out. We'll see what happens.
Well, who would you talk to about
that? I don't think whoever's in charge of Channel 12 is going to look at me at age 45 and 50 and say, yeah, that's our up-and-coming digital guy. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, talk to some people.
I'll do it.
The first step is talking to people. Just sitting in the background going, I'm going to develop a plan.
I still have over a year left on my contract, so I can start.
Yeah, you always want to moving you always toward wanna, that. You always want to show your aggression.
Yeah.
When it comes to
enthusiasm. I don't know about aggression.
Aggression.
I don't want to be aggressive toward anybody, but
trying to think back on my life at the Wichita Eagle and the moves I made. The biggest move was to leave sports for a while.
Yeah, didn't
in 1984.
To go to the neighbors.
For the great unknown.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be the best move I ever made.
How long were you with neighbors?
A couple years.
Interesting.
Then I covered the police beat for 8 months. Didn't like that. Went back to sports, and the rest is history.
Was the police beat, I mean, I know you had different type of hours covering sports, games. Were you getting called out when crimes happened, or was it just mostly a day job?
I have very few memories of that era. That was a tough era. My father died. In that general time frame, I got a divorce in that general
time.
From
who?
And then didn't like my job in that general time frame.
Not a good run for you.
That's three tough ones.
It is.
But I picked myself up.
Which happened first, the divorce or your father's on time?
My father.
Okay.
But we were going through a rough patch at the time.
Well, yeah. You sure were.
I can laugh about it now. I wasn't laughing about it then.
Nor was I.
What do you mean? You were a young kid.
I remember.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, we tried to make it as soft for you as we could.
Well, when you're screaming, that's not, it's nothing.
There wasn't any screaming.
Yes, there was.
I didn't scream. I'm not a screamer, so I don't know who you heard scream.
Well, I heard arguments.
Okay, well, the arguments is one thing, but I...
Well, they were loud.
I've never been a screamer.
For a three-year-old...
First of all, I don't like screaming because I grew up in it. And secondly, my voice doesn't really scream.
Well, it was loud enough for a three-year-old to register that it as uncommonly loud.
I'm not saying I didn't get into an argument, but
I don't need to be hearing that.
Well, sometimes things happen. Are you okay? Are you?
I don't know.
Scarred by it?
I don't know.
Well, think about it.
I do not know.
Are you scarred by the?
I don't know if the person I turned out to be is a scar or just normal. I have no idea.
Well, nobody knows. Both of your parents did their very best.
Yeah, I was privileged too.
That you can bank on that. Regardless of any mistakes we may have made, there is no doubt that both of your parents did their very best. Are we really talking about this on a national radio show?
Who cares?
Even Max is walking out of the studio.
He is. I think he finds this massively entertaining. And
I don't know if he does or not.
Insightful. Why wouldn't he? This is golden material.
My parents didn't get a divorce, and there were many, many times when I thought, why aren't they getting a divorce? But they hung in there, and in their own way, they loved each other.
Of course.
And there was, I grew up, man, I had a different show on every day. If that's the beautiful thing about a parent like my mother.
How far back?
You've got the best drama. You've got a comedy. You got a variety show. She was everything.
How far back in our lineage do you think you have to go for someone to have heard their father tell their mother, I love you? Did you hear that?
My dad telling my mother?
That I love
you?
You heard it?
Yeah.
Obviously, I never heard it because you guys got divorced when I was young. But I'm just saying, I don't think the further you go back and the more hardened our Lutz lineage becomes.
No, my parents,
I don't know.
It was obvious to me they loved each other, and they said it. That wasn't a shortcoming.
But I just figured it'd be like one of those, well, I'm still here, aren't I?
My dad was very comfortable sharing his emotions for my mother. Now, would he tell me he loved me a lot? Not a ton, but I knew it. Wasn't anything I wonder if my dad loves. Of course he does. And I knew my mother in her way, loved me. I never felt unloved. I felt tremendous tension at times.
Do you have a general vulnerability to saying I love you to people?
It can be challenging. My wife says it every night, every day, every hour, I'm not that. I can't do that. It's impossible for me. So I pick my spots.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
But there's no one I love more than Debbie Lutz. I mean, there's not. And I'm able to tell my dog that I love her 15,000 times.
Yeah,
an hour.
No kidding. There's no vulnerability there.
Oh, there's some.
No, there isn't.
What if she snarls?
That's unlikely.
But she's able to tell me in her own way.
Yeah, of course.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful relationship that I have with Misty. And I wish I'd known this human dog thing a lot earlier, because I would have had, I couldn't. I was gone so much. But Misty is a beacon of light in my life.
I get dogs, and I love dogs, and I understand the bond between humans and dogs, and I would never want to disparage that in any way. I'll preface it by saying that. Went to a pet supply store to get kitty treats the other day, and the first 10 rows are all dog stuff, and then you have cats, birds, rabbits.
Well, more people have dogs.
I know, but what's wrong with cats?
There's nothing wrong with cats.
Why do
I've been around cats. I've had cats once. They're fine, but they don't give you what a dog does.
our cats come up to us all the time and sleep with us and lay with us
and are with us.
I think it's just, do you show them love? I don't think it's that. I don't know. Maybe we just got lucky. Maybe we have the only four cats who show affection in any way whatsoever.
Cats are fine.
But I think it's just as rewarding.
But Misty has ultra personality.
So do our cat.
Nah.
They do.
They don't.
Yes, they do.
They don't have her personality.
Okay, no dog has any other dog's personality.
Do they run upstairs and start getting ready to do a show?
We don't have stairs, so no.
So Misty is now programmed to do two shows a night.
Really?
Yes. And regardless of whether we want one.
Is it the same show or does she change it up?
No, she changes it up. It depends.
So you...
A lot of times...
You want to get a ticket for both shows, maybe.
A lot of times her show involves her toy carrot. And that's a big part of her show.
You can't just say that out loud while she's sitting there.
And other times, the show involves her barking, biting softly. She never bites hard.
Play biting.
Playing and twirling and just putting on a show. She understands what a show is because I've trained her to do that.
Well, excellent. I think she's trained you.
Well, that could be.
Uh-oh.
Alexa didn't like that.
Guess not.
I don't know that.
Alexa, stop.
What caused that?
I don't know.
That's creepy to me. I'm just having a conversation.
She must have heard something. She's hearing it all the time.
Well, sure she is. And who knows where it's
why
going?
Why she needed to respond, I guess.
Who knows where it's going?
I don't know.
It could be going to an enemy of mine.
That do you have enemies?
They're working up something to have me taken away or something.
Do you have enemies?
Of course I do.
You do?
Unfortunately, yes.
Will you tell me off the air who some of them are? I don't have enemies,
Here's the thing about my life, because it's been spent in Wichita's public eye. It's not like I'm a national figure, but I'm fairly well known in Wichita. And when you do things that get notoriety, like being a sports columnist.
Yeah, but that's different.
A lot of people didn't like me.
Yeah, I understand that. But I'm talking about you have people that are actually holding grudges and that
sure.
You maybe hold grudges against.
And a lot of people don't like the way League 42 operates. Not a lot. A very few. But they're loud. And they don't mind making their opinions heard. And to them I say, to hell with you.
Why do they get to?
Well, they I don't know. But what I say to those people is, too bad. Because League 42 is a culmination of many, many years of thought, and then many, many people joining forces to make something happen. And these people are doing, and I'm one of them, doing the best we can. Doing the very best we can to make this work for kids.
Do you feel threatened by any of your enemies?
No. Of course not. What do you mean threatened?
I mean, will they...
Like physical violence?
Yeah, is that...
No.
So it's just...
They're just pains in
emotional.
The ass.
Emotional.
You ever been around a pain in the ass?
Huh.
Yeah, well, I have.
I surround myself with only wonderful humans.
Well, you haven't been, listen, you've got a good life, but you haven't been out there rubbing people the wrong way.
Nor do I hope to. But not that I am opposed to it, but it's just, I don't.
When you write a sports column, you're going to rub some people the wrong way.
That's fine. I mean, I don't care.
When you sports opinions. When you are the head of an organization, you rub people the wrong way.
Well,
they think they could do it better.
That has a little bit bigger stakes, but still.
And maybe they could, but they're not. So it's You can talk all
day.
Well,
they couldn't. That's...
I don't
they
know
might
if
be
they
able
could.
To run their own league better than, but they can't run yours.
I don't view it as mine.
Well, you started the league.
I started the league. I'm the founder, but I don't view it as mine. There's too many others that are invested in it as well.
I mean, Wendy's was Dave Thomas's
at some point,
even though there was certainly many others. He was the face of the organization.
Ray Kroc started McDonald's.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
The McDonald brothers. He basically...
Nah, Ray Kroc.
He stole from them.
I need to watch that movie.
Have you watched
it? You sure about that?
Yeah. Have you seen The Founder?
No.
It's good. You should watch it.
Maybe that's what I'll do tonight. Although, I got to start catching up on these Emmy shows.
Yeah, you better.
I'm going to write them all down.
Don't do something you want to do. Do something you feel obligated
to
do.
I'll do something I want to do. And I want to do that. I know you find that hard to believe. But that's where I get enjoyment.
We got a big weekend, sort of.
Eh.
Wind surge back in town. We get a couch delivered on Friday.
What kind of couch you getting?
Yo, it's just luxurious.
Really?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it?
Bob Mills.
Sectional?
Yeah. Kind of goes outward, turns around, comfortable.
Really?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Oh, there you go. Finally spending some money.
Yeah, it was fun to go to Horton's and try to talk them into deals, but we couldn't make those work.
I don't really need any furniture. I think I'm set.
Well, we needed a couch.
What I'm getting is a new kitchen remodel.
And the ladies are headed out of town Saturday.
Where are they headed?
I don't remember. Colorado, Oklahoma, somewhere.
And you're not going with them?
No.
All right, time for a break. 869-1240, that's the IHOP hotline. It's the Bob and Jeff Show on KFH.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show.
You're irritating.
Yeah.
And I can't be the only person you irritate.
Well, that says more about them than me, I think.
Does your wife indicate any irritation with you ever?
She gets irritated by me plenty.
What about your daughter?
Nah, not really. She gets me. She understands, I think.
Are you popular in your workplace?
I don't know. I'm pretty quiet, but I don't think anybody actively dislikes
me. Do people come and talk to you?
Oh, goodness, no.
Do you hang out with anybody?
No, not really. I'm just the guy around the office who's nice, you know, never upset, never angry, never going to criticize anybody. Never...
What do you think I was around the office?
Yeah, you're a little...
If you had to guess.
You're a little more vocal.
A little. I certainly made myself heard.
Yeah.
And I was a guy that mixed it up.
I'm usually a go-along-to-get-along type of person. Not always, but most of the time.
I made an attempt to get to know people in other areas.
What do you mean? Like, there's other areas of the newsroom?
Yeah, and other areas of the whole paper. We had... At the Apex, we had 700-plus employees at the Wichita Eagle.
Crazy.
In a three-story building that was packed. Just packed to the gills.
Floor three.
Couldn't turn around.
For life.
Actually, a four-story building. The archives were kept on the fourth floor. And I went up there a few times.
Wouldn't that make it three stories? Isn't the first level zero, basically?
No, four stories.
I don't know. I don't think so, but you never know.
There's a first story, a second story, a third story, and a fourth story.
But the first floor is ground level.
Yeah, then there's a second floor. That's the second story.
That's the first story.
No,
it's
not.
One story tall.
You're wrong.
If you had a foundation, you wouldn't call that a one-story building.
Of course you would.
No, you wouldn't.
Of course you would.
No.
That's a story.
No.
Well, I can't believe I'm having this conversation with you.
No, a story... It's not a level. A story is a height.
Jeff, when you're in a building and you want to count how many stories, you start on the second story?
No, I start on the second floor.
You do?
Yeah.
You really do?
Because the first floor is ground level.
You really start on that store. Sorry.
Yes, to have a two-story home, it's not upstairs, right? You have a one-story home. Two stories.
No, I have a bi-level home.
Whatever. But if it was one set of stairs going upstairs, that's a one-story home.
That's wrong.
No, it's not. And if you
Max,
go,
please get on.
And if you go up another set of stairs,
Max,
for a third level,
I rarely ask you for a lifeline.
That's a two-story home.
I rarely ask you for a lifeline. But I need you, Max. I mean, come on.
What?
Are you hearing Jeff?
Yes, I do.
Well, correct him.
That...
Yeah, correct me.
What do you want me to correct him on?
There's nothing I'm wrong about.
That's his view.
Thank you, Max. He got
off the air, Max. Now, never
that's
come
my
on
view,
again.
So be quiet. Okay.
I never want Max on.
That's good.
No,
they don't pay me enough to be on the air.
All right, turn the mic off.
That's
your view.
That's my view. Get over it.
This isn't a viewpoint. This is an accuracy thing. My gosh. And you must be getting texts like crazy. Here's one I got. Your son's a moron. And I don't appreciate that, Jim.
You think
at all.
So?
Nobody calls you that. On my watch, did you get a text?
No.
What are you looking at?
Is two stories the same as two floors? Building floors can be seen in building height and the number of floors. This doesn't answer the question.
Of course it does.
Are floors
it just
the same
doesn't answer
as...
the question you want.
No, it doesn't answer the question. There's no yes or no.
Well, that's because nobody's ever asked it. There are certain questions no one's ever asked. I wonder if that two-story building has two floors. No one's ever asked that.
Then what's a story?
A story. It's a layer. It's like a layer of a building.
But if you're on the
first layer is the bottom floor.
But if you're standing...
The second layer is the second floor.
But if you're standing on the ground level of the second floor, you are one story up.
No, you're not.
Yes, you are.
There's
the ground floor when you're standing on it.
It's like a cake.
It's not a story.
A cake has layers, right?
Who has an actual?
What's the?
I want a carpenter right now to call.
What? That you've got a layer of a cake, the bottom layer. What do you call it?
The first layer, but it's.
What do you call the next layer?
It's only a layer because it goes to the top of itself.
What do you call the next layer of the cake?
First layer.
No, you call it the second layer.
I don't. You might.
Well, as Max might say, that's his view.
That's my view.
And Max, that was...
And you're going to have to learn to love it.
In fact, Max said he doesn't get paid enough to have an opinion. If Tony Dusing's listening, our program
director...
You
think I get paid too much to have an opinion?
I want you to dock Max's pay.
Okay, that works.
Well, there you go. Max is off the air.
He said something, but he's not on the air.
Okay, whatever.
Well, that's my view.
I can't believe some of the debates we have, which I'm frankly above them. I'm two stories above some of these debates.
Well, I don't know.
I shouldn't even be having them. I don't need them in my life. They're below me. They're beneath me. Much as... If you're on the 18th floor of a building and those 17 floors, that's about how many floors beneath me this debate is.
See, that's a...
You're dying, aren't you? You're
somebody said think hotels. Second floor equals second story, but that's fine. But it has to be a floor
When are you going
to
admit you're wrong?
But it has to be a floor to be a story.
When are you going
to
admit you're wrong?
If you have a ceiling...
What do you call the first floor?
The ground level.
Anytime you enter a building, you're entering the first floor of a building.
The ground level of a building.
Right? That's the first story.
It might be the first floor.
They're the same thing. First floor, first story. They're the same thing.
I don't see it like that.
First layer, first floor, first story.
That's not my view.
And your views are ridiculous.
I have a different view on this.
Well,
and I'd like you to respect it.
And you're wrong. Now, see, you've basically
I've not heard
you're wrong.
From someone.
You know why?
Official,
because they don't want to. It's
I'm
beneath
begging
them.
You to sink to my level, folks, and just if I'm wrong, explain exactly how I'm wrong.
It's beneath them. It's beneath them.
Fine. I'm asking them to
There's
sink
no
all
floor
the way
beneath
down.
Where we are right now. We're on the bottom floor.
Right. We're in the basement.
Right.
We go up. We're on the ground level.
We're on the first floor.
And then we go up.
Then we're on the second
But we're
floor.
Still only one story up.
It's a bi-level. We're going to make some British Open picks. Last time we did this for the U.S. Open, man, what a bloodbath that was.
I don't remember that.
But we're going to go ahead and do it for this tournament that's coming up this weekend. And we'll flip the coin.
I'm going to go first.
Royal Troon, the site.
Am I allowed to go first this time?
Well, we always flip.
Well, let me get a coin flip thing up here. All right, call it.
You call it.
Tails. What is it?
Heads.
You going to go first or second?
Well, I went second last time and just dominated.
Okay.
But I'll go second.
All right, I'm going to take Rory.
Well, good for you. I'll take Scheffler, who I think is primed, and Morikawa. You got to love those picks.
Not really. Two Americans, I'm not feeling it. I'm going to take Ludvig Åberg.
You love that guy.
He is my guy.
Which is ridiculous.
Reminds me of former WWE wrestler Ludvig Borga.
Next.
And Tyrell Hatton.
That's almost funny. Thank Why you. Tyrell Hatton?
Just feel it. Just feel something with him.
Huh. I'm going to take DeChambeau, who's playing well, and Schauffele.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't want either of those guys.
Who do you have?
We're taking seven, by the way, like last time, and four have to make the cut. I'm going to go with my guy, Tommy, don't call me Mick Fleetwood.
Okay, next.
And he's European, right? I'm going to stick with the theme and take Shane Lowry.
I'll go with, might as well go with the big names, right?
You might as well.
Rahm and Koepka. Yeah, you got to load it up with the big stars.
He could.
You have two picks left.
I have two left before your final pick. And I'll always believe in my live guys, Hideki Matsuyama.
You almost said Matsui.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Matsuyama.
You about messed that up.
And out of the great country of Australia, Cam Smith.
Cam Smith. You keep going to that well.
You picked him last time, I believe.
No, I didn't. My final pick,
yeah, you did,
is Victor Hovland.
Oh, why didn't I take him? Can I have him? And
so I have Scheffler, Morikawa, DeChambeau, Schauffele, Rahm, Koepka, Hovland.
What do you want for Hovland?
Nothing.
I'll give you.
I got him.
I'll give you Matsuyama for
give
him.
Give me Rory for him.
Nah.
Who are yours?
McIlroy, Åberg, Hatton, Fleetwood, Lowry, Matsuyama. And
well, I'm going to kill you.
Guys you know exclusively by their last names. Or I could
go. I'll bet you $50 I win this.
No.
Going away.
I'll bet you some cookies or something.
All right.
Okay.
I mean, there's no way you're winning.
I'll win. Rory will win the thing. And we'll be good.
Well, I kind of hope he does. But, I don't know. I'm looking forward to getting up early and watching it. And you got to get up early.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get up early and watch it. I'm not going to watch it, period. So
it's over.
It won't be a big problem for me.
It's over by noon on Sunday.
Yeah, It's how time zones work.
So I'll be up at 8 o'clock Sunday morning watching this baby.
Sure. 8 o'clock? Goodness.
Yeah, I like watching it.
I'm usually up before 7 and then back in bed by 8 and up at 10.
Well, I'll take a nap Sunday, although we do have Cardinal baseball in Atlanta, of all places, to open up the post-All-Star portion of the schedule.
Yeah, we got the Padres.
Paul Skeens last night. He looks the part.
Yeah, no question about it.
Is he, if you had to bet right now, Paul Skeens, yes or no, for 20-1 odds, would you have him in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Really?
Too much.
20-1 odds?
Too much can go wrong. And Hall of Fame is exclusive.
20-1.
I mean, if he stays healthy, then it's probably.
Wouldn't you lay it? Wouldn't that be a good one to lay down?
20-1 odds, I'd probably take.
Wouldn't that be a good one to lay down $1,000 on and say?
Well, if I had $1,000, I certainly would consider it.
And say, man, let's see. If I was a younger man, I'd do that.
I don't know
what FanDuel. What are the betting odds on that?
I don't know if that's a future.
Shouldn't you be able to do that? That's a long time in the future, however.
Yeah, who knows if we'll even exist by then. I don't think you can go that far out.
Probably not. It wouldn't really make sense if you could, would it?
Not really.
But it's an interesting thing to think about.
That's just like giving away your money. Yeah, I don't see any kind of odds.
All right. In the amount of time.
Plus 850 to be the rookie of the year.
In the amount of time we have left, and we don't have much. Let me go down those who played in the game last night for the American League, and you tell me if they'll be in the Hall of Fame someday. Just off the cuff. Stephen Kwan.
Yes.
No, absolutely ridiculous.
3,800 hits, he'll probably
Riley Green.
No.
Gunnar Henderson.
Yes.
Corey Seager.
Yes.
Bobby Witt Jr.
Yes.
Juan Soto.
Yes.
Anthony Santander.
No.
Aaron Judge.
Yes. Jaron Duran. No.
Yordan Alvarez.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he'll hit 480 homers or something and get in.
David Fry.
Probably.
Come on, don't be stupid. Willie Castro.
No.
Jose Ramirez.
Yes.
Come on, man.
He's going to get in.
Come on.
He'll get in, trust me.
Isaac Paredes.
No.
Vlad Guerrero Jr.
I believe he'll turn it around and figure it out, so yes.
Josh Naylor.
Duh.
Say no.
Canadian, American, just put him in all the halls.
Adley Rutschman.
I'm going to say no.
Really?
He's, I don't know, maybe.
Salvador Perez.
Oof, yes.
Marcus Semien.
No.
Jordan Westberg.
No.
Corbin Burns.
Yes.
Tarek Skubal.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, he's like 20.
Tanner Houck.
No.
Garrett Crochet.
No.
Mason Miller.
No.
Cole Reagans.
No.
Seth Lugo.
No.
Kirby Yates.
No.
Emmanuel Clase.
100%.
Come on.
Man, we got five future Guardians in. That's crazy.
National League. Ketel Marte.
No.
Ryan McMahon.
No.
Shohei.
Yes.
Marcelo Zuna.
No.
Trey Turner.
Yes.
CJ Abrams.
No, maybe. Yes.
Bryce Harper.
Yes.
Elliot Ramos.
No.
William Contreras.
No.
Christian Yelich.
No.
Ooh, that's an interesting one. Freddie Freeman.
Yes.
Pete Alonso.
No.
Ellie De La Cruz. Let's end on that one. Well, you're really buying into that future. Thanks for listening today, everyone. We were happy to talk with Connor Frankamp of the Aftershocks and Mike Furches. We'll be back tomorrow. Adam Teicher, Chiefs coverage for ESPN.com, will be among our guests. See you then.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.